Welcome to Powwow the Dance, a program that explores the cultural and traditional powwow songs of the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa.
I'm sitting here with Donald Chosa, and he's going to be our host for Powwow the Dance. And we're going to explore a little bit about dancing and how people participate in the powwow. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Donald?
I started dancing at powwows when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I can remember my first pair of moccasins. Right now I'm 56 years old, and I've been dancing ever since I could dance.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you remember about Net Lake and, I guess, powwows and dancing and so forth?
Well, I can remember when they had the powwows where the down by the lake, where mm-hmm. the senior citizens building is now,
mm-hmm.
and they used to call it the old ball field.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to have powwows there. I can remember that at the powwows they used to have rows of logs that you would sit on, and like in place of bleachers.
Yeah.
And I can remember that during the powwow time, it was pretty exciting.
What about during your early days? What about Tower? I know you lived over in Tower area. What do you remember about that?
Well, that's what I remember when I first started dancing, because we moved here when I was about 9 or 10. And before that, we lived in the Vermilion sector of Boys Fort, or Tower. They used to have a powwow around in midsummer, maybe, or early summer, kind of like the end of spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they would have everyone would bring fish, and they would cook fish, and they would have like a big fish fry.
Mm.
Everyone would donate fish from netting,
mm-hmm.
because it would be right after netting season.
Yeah.
And every 4th of July, they used to have a powwow at the Tower School. After the powwow, we'd have to march down Main Street along with in the parade.
Your family's been involved in powwows. How did you guys get, like, let's say, some of the background skills to put regalia together?
My grandmother, she used to do a lot of beadwork, and she used to make regalia as well. She taught my Aunt May her designs and, you know, her style of beadwork, which is woodlands floral. My wife also, you know, her grandmother beaded Jessie Drift. And then after we got married, then my wife picked up the style of the white stems with the dotted. She picked that up from my sister. And
what about leatherwork and some of the cloth? How did all that come about, those skills come about?
I learned how to make moccasins from a young age. I started working with leather when I was 5 years old. I remember watching my aunt make my moccasins, so I just kind of messed around and made like little pouches and stuff. After school, we'd have to come home and we'd have to work on birch bark crafts. I used to make birch bark and willow tomahawks with colored feathers on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sisters would work on other things that my dad would, you know, required us to make.
Now that you're older and you got kids and grandbabies come in, how do you feel about powwows and where they're at today and some of the regalia? What's your observance as far as powwows in that sense go?
I see that they're kind of making a comeback to our traditional style of beadwork, you know, woodland style or mm-hmm. woodlands floral, and I'm glad that they're doing that.
Well, Donald is going to be hosting a show here for us, and we thought we'd just introduce everybody to him. Look forward to hearing a lot about powwows and the regalia, not only history, but how-tos. We'll cover those in the coming weeks to help our listeners learn about powwows and all the regalia.
Oh, miigwech. Powwow the Dance is a production of the Net Lake Radio Project, made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.